Lately, I've been watching a lot of Star Wars. I finished Andor Season 2, the whole series, and enjoyed it quite a bit, one of the best political dramas I've watched in a long time. I tried to rewatch Rogue One, a movie that I have never liked since it came out in 2016. I just don't think it's very good. I understand that people love it. I can already hear you typing away in the comments telling me how crazy my take is. But I've felt very strongly about this for some time. Here's my Letterboxd review of Rogue One. This isn't just a hot take of mine. I have argued about this for a decade and I will not stop arguing about it. I think I'm right. Anyway, I watched or tried to rewatch Rogue One and gave it up, moved on to other things. My oldest has wanted to watch Star Wars, and so last week we watched Star Wars 77, the special edition on Disney Plus. And then the past week when we watched The Empire Strikes Back, again, the special edition on Disney Plus. This weekend, we're going to go see Return of the Jedi, which is playing at one of our local repertory theaters, and I'm looking forward to it quite a bit. So I just have Star Wars on the brain, and as a result, I've been thinking about the tough spot that Disney Star Wars finds itself in right now. Much of the product of Disney Star Wars, or the many products of it, just have not landed with people. I'll defend The Force Awakens, and I actually do think The Last Jedi is a pretty decent movie, but we're not going to get into that here. But The Rise of Skywalker was truly execrable, a terrible film, just a parade of fan service and nonsense. The Mandalorian started off very strong, but quickly devolved into an unending stream of glup shittos. The Obi-Wan series could have just been one 90-minute movie. Solo, A Star Wars Story, had the bones of a film that could have been quite decent, but was weighed down by endless references to Star Wars lore, unnecessary stuff like how did Han Solo get his last name? I don't know, I thought it was just his last name. I didn't think it was some random thing that an imperial bureaucrat gave to him, didn't need to have that. You see where I'm going here. The Acolyte was just fine, and it's unfortunate that it got derailed by an army of racist chuds who thought it was unacceptable to have a black lady in their Star Wars. And I have not yet seen The Mandalorian and Grogu, but I don't have particular high hopes for it. I'll see it with my kids eventually. I think they'll have a good time, but I think I'll find myself wanting more than another endless self-referential fest of lore and, as I said before, glup shittos. The contrast between the original trilogy, even the prequel trilogy, which I'm old enough to have seen in theaters, I do not think it's good. I think of those three movies, one of them is only kind of watchable and the other two are definitely not, although I will be watching them with my child or my children. But even compared to the prequel trilogy, the Disney Star Wars sequels, most of them lack a perspective, lack a sense of trying something. And I've been thinking a lot about what that is, given again my recent consumption of lots of Star Wars media. Now back in the day, when I was in middle school and in high school, I was a total expanded universe sicko. Loved the EU, loved the X-Wing books, Rogue Squadron and Wraith Squadron, read all the Timothy Zahn, Thrawn trilogy books. I could tell you what the Sun Crusher is. I know who the Yuuzhan Vong are.
I hate them!
I was into that quite a bit. Not ashamed of it, but just a thing to know about me. Big, big EU nerd. And one thing about the EU is it did greatly, vastly vary in quality. There was some genuinely good stuff in there, but a lot of trash, a lot of what you might call slop, especially as things winded down at the end. And they were very much desperate for new ideas, new plots, new ways of doing things. You can only have so many galaxy-spanning cataclysms because it gets a little old, you know? But the thing that really weighed down the EU was the extent to which it was a bunch of stories about the same cast of characters. The endless adventures of Luke, Han, Leia, Chewie, maybe Lando sometimes, Mara Jade, the kids, Jaina and Jason. There's a third one, right? Ben? Yeah, Ben Solo. A constant, never-ending cycle around these characters. The EU at its worst was just constantly self-referential, very clearly the product of fans, not of people trying to tell interesting and unique stories, but of fans doing things for fans. And that's fine to an extent, but it does get in the way of storytelling. It does get in the way of producing something worthwhile, of value. And I think that this is what's happening with Star Wars right now, that it's become entirely enthralled to fans. It's for fans, by fans. Quite literally, the person who's going to be overseeing so much of Star Wars, I guess now, Dave Filoni, is maybe the ultimate Star Wars fan. And you'll note that so much of Filoni's output as a creator is often little more than fan service. It's highly self-referential. It is an endless parade of glup shittos. It's all built on lore and knowledge of lore. It's Star Wars that's principally about Star Wars, that requires you to know a lot about Star Wars, that is only relevant to you if you care about Star Wars, which is, again, fine for fans. I'm not sure how much it works for storytelling. You compare this to the original movies, which were not nearly so self-referential. Obviously, that's because they're new, but that even goes for the prequels, terrible as they are. Star Wars in George Lucas's hands was a sci-fi pastiche, the product of his own particular obsessions and childhood loves, elements from a wide variety of sources stitched together. Flash Gordon serials.
I would say probably the original impetus for the whole thing was, I used to watch a serial on television called Adventure Theater, and they had Flash Gordon, Conquers the Universe on it, and I used to love that. So I went off and wrote my own space opera.
World War II films.
Okay, leader. Hello, Earth Mother. Are you there? Standing by.
Famously, samurai films.
The one thing about Hidden Fortress is it did influence me in doing Star Wars, because as I was beginning to write the screenplay and put it together, I remembered Hidden Fortress, and I remembered the one thing that really struck me about Hidden Fortress and I was really intrigued by was the fact that the story was told from the two lowest characters. I decided that that would be a nice way to tell the Star Wars story, which is to take the two lowliest characters, as Kurosawa did, and tell the story from their point of view, which in the Star Wars case is the two droids. And that was the strongest influence, actually.
Again, you see this in the prequels as well. A pastiche. Noir, for example, makes a prominent appearance in Attack of the Clones. Lucas's Star Wars is not always good, but it's a take. It's a take on things that are external to Star Wars, that are brought into the Star Wars aesthetic, and then inform the aesthetic. And I think that it's that, the absence of anything external to Star Wars, that is sort of the problem with a lot of Disney Star Wars. You'll note that the things that people love, the two things that people love the most, Andor and Rogue One, are very much drawing from outside of Star Wars. Rogue One is attempting to be a kind of Dirty Dozen type film. I do not think it succeeds at it, but that's what it's attempting to be. And Andor very much is highly informed by the world outside of Star Wars. Really, Andor is just a container. The story has very little to do with Star Wars per se. It could be told in any number of science fiction universes. It doesn't even have to take place in science fiction. That's part of what makes it so compelling, I think.
When truth leaves us, when we let it slip away, when it is ripped from our hands, we become vulnerable to the appetite of whatever monster screams the loudest.
And it offers a way forward. If you put me in charge of Star Wars, what I might recommend is to stop making stuff that's about the lore of Star Wars. Stop making stuff that's so self-referential. And start focusing on projects that once again are bringing things from the outside and putting them in a Star Wars container. I was quite excited about the aborted Patty Jenkins Star Wars Rogue Squadron movie because I was hoping it would kind of just be Top Gun in space. I don't need to know any lore. I don't need to check up with what's going on with other characters. Give me new characters, give me some cool new starships, give me a Top Gun-esque plot, and I'm a happy camper. And I think I speak for a lot of people who like Star Wars. They would just be a happy camper. Once again, returning to Star Wars as pastiche might be the thing that can bring Star Wars back from what I think is the brink, that can make it compelling again. I'd also say shooting these things like real movies, which is a basic Disney problem, see Marvel as well, but that's a separate video. Andor is noteworthy for having actual sets and on-location shooting, and it looks good for it. In any case, I would like to see Star Wars be better. I don't enjoy having a negative opinion of Star Wars. I'm not one of those Star Wars fans who seems to get off on hating Star Wars and everything about it. I would prefer it to be exciting. But ironically, I think the first step for the franchise is to stop caring so much about the fans. I think that goes for all kinds of storytelling. The fans, they buy the thing, sure, but they cannot be guidance for telling a story. What the fans want typically is the equivalent of a faster horse. But what storytellers should be trying to deliver is a whole new kind of experience.